Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Justin Klein listens to your questions.
And I had a question about Ideonomics, IDEX.
And provides unbiased answers.
Clearly, this is the type of name that's going to have a lot of hype. And you're playing the long game here because from a business perspective, they're not making any money.
Invest Talk. Over 30 million downloads and counting.
This is Chris in Hawaii. Really love the show. And I'd be interested to hear your take on this one. Rolls-Royce. R-Y-C-E-Y.
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, March 15th, 2021 edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you all tuning in with me for this hour and do my best to give you as much information and perspective that I can that will help you make better money decisions. And as I do that, I'm going to operate with my mission statement, which is always independent thinking and shared success. We want you to come along to with the ride with us, the learning experiences, the successes, and improve your financial situation to a point where you are financially free. Right? That's all of our end goals. And whether I'm giving you market reports, explaining how and why to invest in certain asset classes, pros and cons, individual stock commentary, sector analysis, etc., all that will be presented without bias. I'm just here to give you the facts and my perspective of about 20 years of experience. Now, I'm Justin Klein. Of course, we encourage you to contact us with your finance and investment questions. And yes, you get to shape the show to your liking when you do reach out. And you can call and interact with us right now during the live stream program, which is 4 to 5 Pacific time each and every weekday. Or if you are listening after hours, you can always leave a question on our anytime Invest Talk voice bank, which, as always, is the same number, never changes, 888-99-CHART. So let's get right to our first question now.
Hi, this is Manny from Southern California, and I had a question about Ideonomics, IDEX. I noticed that the share is decreasing pretty rapidly, and I have over 100 shares in that. If you could please share your thoughts on that, that would be very much appreciated. I love the show. A big fan. Thank you.
All right, this is Ideonomics, and it trades for about $3.30 at the close today. That's down from its 52-week high just a few weeks ago of $5.53. They operate as an artificial intelligence and blockchain power fintech company. So clearly this is the type of name that's going to have a lot of hype, a lot of volatility, and you're playing the long game here because from a business perspective, they're not making any money, and they haven't made any money, and their cash flow remains negative. They continue to issue more shares. Look at this name. 3 million shares outstanding in 2010, now 178 million shares outstanding. And trailing 12 months, only $16 million in revenue, losing $1.17, just hemorrhaging cash, and they're doing it on the backs of shareholders when they're just being diluted constantly. So that's what you're seeing here is just a steady flow of shares into the market, diluting shareholders, making any growth, which granted over the last quarter, year over year, was very strong, but they still didn't do that at a profitable clip. So, you know, this has to be a long-term play for you. You have to be able to handle the ups and downs, and you have to really understand the business. It's still a $1.2 billion market cap, and they've done $16 million trailing 12 months in revenue? That's really hard to swallow. I really would have to have high confidence that they're going to have revenue explode. Not just the fact that, oh, they operate in the fintech space, in the blockchain space, not just the story, but where is that eventually going to go? And so to me, this is a name that I would definitely not invest in. I would be getting out of, unless you have some very long-term buy and hold reason that I don't know about that could really, really explode their revenue and profits far, far higher than they are today, which right now is pretty anemic. Now, why are we here today? Well, I know that you need strategies to help deal with the current market environment of shifting leaders, shifting dynamics of the economy, inflation, growth, earnings, and political ideologies and headwinds. And all of this is going to change the way the 2020s look from an investment perspective. And you need to be prepared for that. And that's what I'm here to help you do, is help prepare you for the coming decade that is going to look very different than the last decade. So I'm right now ready to take your calls on our Invest Talk Anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART. So give me a call. Now let's check in on the market today. You had the S&P up about 25 points, a little over 0.5%, a new all-time high. The Qs, however, up 3 points, 0.1 per, sorry, excuse me. The Qs are up $3, which would be about 1%. So you had a little bit of strength there on the NASDAQ, and growth stocks certainly outperformed the value side after a week, last week, where value continued to outperform. And one of the reasons why was the 10-year was down about almost 3 basis points, but still at 1.607% on the day. The 30-year closed down about 3.5 basis points, down to 2.37% on the day. And that lower interest rates is good for the tech side, the growth side. So the big question is, where will they go? Where will they go in the near future, in the long-term future? Now, what's most important to the markets, though, is the near term. And tomorrow, we start the first FOMC meeting, and they conclude on Wednesday. And there will be an announcement of policy changes. And they're not going to do a whole lot, most likely. They're not going to make, I don't think, any substantive changes to their policy, but they will jawbone, I think, the market of what will happen when rates get to a certain level, what will cause them to act like they've done in the past, to maybe quell financial upheaval, financial problems. And that's really been their role for the past couple of decades. Now, do they shift towards, hey, we're just going to let things play out, let the government stimulate? What are they going to say in relation to the higher rates of treasury yields and how that impacts the economy as a whole? Mortgage rates are now inching close to that 3.5% level, which we haven't seen since pre-pandemic. They talk about that. So higher costs of capital are difficult to handle for an economy and a financial system that has a lot of debt and asset prices, especially real estate, predicated on low cost of debt. And so what they say about all of those factors will be interesting to the market. So I don't expect a lot of big moves until we get to Wednesday. Now you're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein, and we are now into the third trading week of March. And with all the changes we see happening on the horizon, it's important to remember that during these type of periods, the task of building your personal financial freedom must continue. You can't afford to take your eye off the ball, and that's why we're here. We're here to help you with that. So we're going to talk about whatever is on your mind. Your participation is vital. So we're taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
Steve and Justin have recorded a special bonus podcast. It's a fast-paced learning podcast for the average investor. It's free, so be sure to tell your friends. It can be downloaded now at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and investtalk.com. Look for Rapid Fire Hour.
Hi, I've got a question about a company, Rolls-Royce, R-Y-C-E-Y. This is Chris in Hawaii. Really love the show, and I'd be interested to hear your take on this one. It's got a lot of name value. Recently took a position yesterday when the market was down, and just curious to hear what you have to say. Thanks so much. Love the show.
All right, looking at R-Y-C-E-Y, this is Rolls-Royce Holdings. This is an ADR. Now, they're out of the UK, and they're one of the largest manufacturers of engines for aerospace and defense. And I think that's one of the issues here is that they make a lot of their revenue comes from the aerospace industry. And obviously, the aerospace industry is on its heels right now. So I would say this would be a deep value play in my mind. You really have to have faith that the airline industry is going to have a big turnaround. And I'm not so sure about that, at least in the short to medium term. Now, long term, maybe we might get back to levels that are reasonable to sustain something similar to pre-COVID air travel. But I think that could be 10 years from now. There's permanent, in my mind, loss of demand from the business community. No longer are businesses going to travel for small little meetings. They're going to be more reticent to spend money when, hey, a Zoom call is essentially free since you already have a subscription, right? And this is a name that has continued to decline really since the start of the pandemic, but even before that. I mean, this hit a high of about $14 in late 2018 and has been on a downtrend since. So their balance sheet is stretched, and that was what worries me the most is the level of debt. So I don't think it's cheap enough. I think you're taking a lot of risk. I know you're going to look at the price of, oh, it's $1.70. It's cheap. Well, not necessarily. So frankly, I'm going to pass on Rolls-Royce. Could they have a turnaround? Sure, but I just don't like those kind of longer-term headwinds, which I still think, you know, 10 years is kind of a long period of time, and I think there's going to be a lot of headwinds there. So I'm going to pass on Rolls-Royce. And speaking of that, let's go talk with Alex in Virginia. He's talking about Boeing.
Yeah, hey, Justin, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a small starter position in Boeing from a couple months ago. But, you know, they've been having a lot of news flow coming in, and they've got some new orders. So a lot of new good news flowing in for them. But I have a small starter position because just kind of I'm a little concerned about their debt, you know, have been. But, you know, what do you think about adding on any – I know it's run up right now, but, like, maybe on some pullbacks? Or do you think I should just keep the small starter, just the small position that I have? You know, I kind of see it as a reopening play down the line. But I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the, possibly adding more or what you think I should do with it.
Well, my thoughts are very similar to what I just said about Rolls-Royce. In even a more targeted way, that is Boeing as well. Rolls-Royce is at least a little bit diversified in some other areas, even though they're heavily reliant on aerospace. But Boeing is pretty much entirely aerospace. And if business community does not go back to having salespeople and their employees go on a lot of business trips, that means permanent loss of demand for air travel and the most profitable segment of our air travel. And that means the number of flights that are being flown each day, especially weekdays, is going to be limited. And there's going to be excess supply of planes on the market that used to be flying, you know, more routes. And so the used cost of airplanes is already in the toilet. And I think it's going to stay that way for an extended period of time, which is going to weigh on companies like Boeing. And Boeing, over the last decade or so, has been terribly run. You see that with their scandal with the 777 MAX and the the fact that they bought a ton of shares back at very high prices, leveraged up their balance sheet, put themselves in a position where they almost had to get bailed out by the government. And so I just think there's far, 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 far better places from a risk-reward perspective to be than Boeing. So frankly, I would sell it. Thanks for the call, Alex. My focus point today is a story about the housing market and has it reached a tipping point. We're talking about that and whatever is on your mind, so give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
The markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Justin Klein is here now and ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
My focus point today concerns this story. Has the housing market reached its tipping point? Well, why do we ask? Well, home prices are overheated, mortgage rates are rising, even though the supply of homes sales are anemic and the inventory is anemic, but consumers' confidence in housing is fading. And the big question is why. So let's recap kind of what's happened over the past year or so with the housing market. And we know the pandemic caused kind of an emotional run on home buying, right? Trying to get out of big cities, trying to get into bigger spaces, wanting to find bigger homes to work out of, to maybe detach from the family life a little bit by having a little bit more space. We've seen that with strong demand for temporary dwellings, you know, that you can put on your property outside of the main home. That's tripled in the last year. And so these are the effects of the pandemic. And home prices are overheated. Mortgage rates are now rising from about 2.75 to 3.25, edging closer to that 3.5 range. And that's why consumer confidence is falling. And another big reason is the pandemic-related mortgage bailouts are set to expire, meaning the moratorium that 1 in 7 Fannie and Freddie sponsor mortgages have gone into, well, that's going to expire at the end of the summer. Now, home sales plunged 18% from March to April last year, then another 10% from April to May, but then shot back up in June. So you had that snapback and really, really strong pace of sales going through August, really. It was the fastest pace since 2006. And this strong demand for housing came at a time when supply of the homes were very, very low. People wanted additional space, and sellers pulled back on not wanting to sell, right? They didn't want to move themselves. And what's interesting about this recent bump in mortgage rates is that for the half a point rise from 2.7.25, home buyers lose 23,000 in spending power when it comes to affordability. And that's why you're seeing affordability get stretched. And this happened back in 2018 when rates went from 4% to 4.6%. That was about a 15% rise in the cost of borrowing. Here you're talking closer to a 20% rise in the cost of borrowing. As of January of this year, prices were up more than 10% year over year. So you see prices up, cost of borrowing up, and the only thing that you could say is a positive is that jobs are coming back. But the jobs that are coming back are not of those that are typical home buyers. Right? Most of those jobs that are coming back are in the service economy. Right? Waiters, people that work in hotels, maybe airline employees, etc. Now, a recent poll report by Fitch claimed that national home prices were overvalued by about 5.5%. And so this is only going to be exacerbated as rates rise. Now about 75 million households, or about 60% of all U.S. households, are not able to afford a median-priced new home. And that's really the issue here. Now, supply is still limited and will remain limited for some time. And I think that's the big saving grace for the housing market at this time. But as moratoriums roll off, as people get comfortable of people walking through their homes, seeing their homes, moving to a new home and that process, because maybe they're vaccinated now, I think you're going to see a big shift in the housing market over the next 6 to 9 months. And by this time next year, I expect it to be a buyer's market more than a seller's market, at least more than you are now. Now, Steve and I have said many times that we appreciate our diverse audience. In fact, we receive caller questions from around the world and across America. So let's take a question now from Florida.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Jeff from Florida. I was calling to get your thoughts on Pampa Energy, PAM. It's a Argentine utility. I was doing some research on infrastructure utilities, especially from what's been going on in Texas, to see where they are. A lot of them are already kind of, seems like I've missed that. So I was looking around a little bit more for a deeper value utility and came across this. What are your thoughts? Thanks.
Well, first off, I like that it is foreign and you're going to get that tailwind from likely stronger foreign currency, although the dollar has been showing some recent strength. Now, this is a name that historically is a bad balance sheet and it's improved it in recent years. So I like that. Chart-wise, it's looking pretty strong after a number of years where it's been weak. About $70 a share back in 2018, now we're at $14. So it does look like a value play, even though shares have exploded here. So I don't like it from a risk war perspective because of that problem with foreign currency. So I'm going to pass on it, but it is fairly undervalued. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Of all the finance and investing podcasts and all the downloads and all the world, you've discovered InvestTalk.
Hey guys, I just started checking out your podcast and I've been really enjoying the content.
I was just wondering if you could explain what a spinoff is.
I'm interested in 2 IPOs.
And since InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are committed to answering your questions with their unique blend of expert insight and unbiased guidance, you've got to ask yourself one question. Why haven't you called InvestTalk?
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Josh calling from New York, first-time caller.
You know you listen, you know you should call, you know you want to call.
Would you consider equities to be a hedge against inflation?
You'll get a reliable answer and the same positive feeling that tens of thousands of InvestTalk callers have already experienced.
Thank you, and I appreciate what you guys do.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. For investors, the goal of achieving financial freedom requires unbiased information, strategic planning, and determination. Congratulations! You've found the podcast that is dedicated to helping you succeed. InvestTalk.
Hi, this is Mark calling from the Bay Area. I have a question about how you guys go about your data. I know you guys say that you pay for data, and I'm interested in having access to some premium data as well. What sites would you recommend, or what sources of data would you recommend, and what brand of data do you guys pay for? That's what I'm most interested in. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, we do have various data sets. We don't buy or subscribe to just one. Morningstar Premium is, I think, a great all-around service. I believe that's $100 a month. We have the most premium service that they offer. Y-Charts, there's an institutional cost one, which has export data. That's where we use a lot of our data. We export a lot of our data from into Excel, and there's ways to build worksheets and filters and things like that kind of custom. But maybe you don't need that. Maybe you just need the basic package. I believe that's also $100 a month. There's other ones that we get from TD Ameritrade. You could have a TD Ameritrade account and use thinkorswim, and I believe that's free for retail clients if you have an account over there. We don't get paid. We use TD as our broker for our clients, but we don't get paid, you know, kickback by saying that it's good. I just think it's a good service for those that are trying to do it themselves, trying to gather good data. So that's certainly one. What else? I mean, there's some other smaller ones, smaller reports on individual companies, things like that. But those are more expensive for the average person. So I hope that helps. Hope it gives you a little perspective. And the best free one, I still think, is finviz.com. Just don't use Yahoo Finance, please. Now, on the next Invest Talk, we will present a newly compiled Best of Caller Questions show. You will hear Steve Peasley and I alternate to questions recently submitted by our listeners. The special Best of podcast will be posted tomorrow. Now let's grab a live call, this time from a listener in Napa, California, LUMN.
Good afternoon, Justin. Yeah, I'm developing an interest in LUMN, Lumen, and I've been looking for a little pullback because it's in the tech area, but there doesn't seem to be coming any, so I guess it just keeps chugging away up in an upward mode. So do you think there's a possibility of a pullback in that one, or should I just bite the bullet and just buy it at the market?
Well, I would say just buy it. So we've owned Lumen for a little while now, a month or two. Bought it in the 12 and change area. Now we're at 14 and change. Does yield about 7%. Now, you said it's in the tech space. I wouldn't classify it as tech. I know a lot of people get that confused because, to me, this is in the telecom industry. They have 450,000 route miles of fiber, including over 35,000 route miles of subsea fiber connecting Europe, Asia, Latin America, etc. And they're one of the U.S.'s largest telecom carriers. And about 70% of their revenue comes from the business community. And so we like their business. They have phone services across 37 states, about 4.5 million broadband customers. And the biggest issue is they've had bad management. Their business and revenue has been pretty steady, even though recently it's been in decline. But it's been decline because they're letting kind of unprofitable lines of business roll off. They're not reinvesting in that area, and they're just being better managed now. And so that's why we like Lumen Technologies. Like I said, yields about 7%. Still is a bit of a risk because they do have a decent amount of debt, but they are paying down that debt and getting their balance sheet in order, so we like that. So Lumen Technologies, we are fans. Now let's keep the pace moving. Go back to the Vestalk Voice Bank for a call that came in earlier on 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I have a question about HSAs. I have the ability to invest with my HSA. Would it be better to use the HSA to pay for my medical and dental and vision bills since it is tax-free, or would it be better to pay with my regular after-tax non-HSA monies? On one hand, you have the ability for investment growth, but on the other hand, you avoid taxes. My logic is that an annual growth of, say, 7% is going to be less than the, you know, 24% tax on my non-HSA dollars. What do you guys think? Thanks. Love the show. I listen every day.
Well, you're going to have to use that HSA money on medical expenses at some point. Yeah, you could grow it, and maybe you earmark that later in life for long-term care or just the natural medical expenses of aging. So maybe you think of it that way. It's more strategic around how you spend that money or when you spend that money. So I don't hate the idea. I've never really thought of it that way. It's typically a small piece. And you're going to be saving so much. If you have an HSA at work and you're going to be saving that consistently, hopefully you don't need that much money, you know, decades from now, right? So it'd be better to spread that out over your life and actually be able to use it. You know, I think that's really the best argument is, hey, yeah, you could accumulate it into a large dollar amount, but hopefully you won't need to spend that much. So I think you're getting a little too cute with your strategy, and I would just use it for medical expenses. This is InvestTalk. Let's pivot to Chicago.
Hey, Steve and Justin. My name is Greg. I'm calling from Chicago. I'm invested in a company called Workhorse Group, WKHS, and it recently just plummeted due to a contract that they were supposed to be getting with USPS, and it fell short. And I'm wondering if now is the right time to buy in because it can be shooting up, or if you think it's going to be pretty stagnant for the long term. I appreciate your call.
This is classic. Workhorse Group, I think I've spoke about this over the past few months. This is your classic story stock. $2.2 billion valuation. That's after dropping 58% from its 52-week high of $42.96. So it's already down a ton. It was trading at $4+ billion. Now it's at $2+ billion. But it's not even worth that because they don't make money. It's all about the story that their electric trucks are going to change the face of government vehicles like post office trucks and fire trucks, etc. It's a story. It reminds me a lot of Nikola. And you've seen how far that's dropped. Once again, this is not an environment where you want to be invested in these story stocks unless you have a very strong conviction that they're going to grow just exponentially from where they are today and grow into that valuation. This company did $700,000 in sales last quarter. Yes, not $700 million, $700,000. They're going to lose 81 cents a share this year. It should be the highest loss since 2017. So their losses are getting bigger. I would not be buying into this name. I'm Justin Klein. You listen to InvestTalk, and it is now official. We have hit over the 30 million download mark in the history of our InvestTalk podcast and the radio show, the Best Talk radio show, which, I don't know if you know this, but it's still a radio show up in the Bay Area. But it's been going back well before that. And our listener base is throughout the world. And Steve and I thank you for downloading InvestTalk and telling your friends and family. And keep the calls, questions, and emails coming in. We love them all. And remember, you can visit our InvestTalk.com website. It has a good number of resources for you to help build a financial future that you can be proud of. And if you're unsure on how to start, I suggest you take our Riskalyzed Risk Questionnaire. It'll give you your investment comfort zone, your speed limit, shall we say. And of course, you are welcome to our KPP Financial Offices in Irvine, California, whenever you are around. If you live here locally, if you're visiting, we'd love to sit down and talk with you and help you in any way. But for now, our phone lines are open, so give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
There is good news for loyal InvestTalk listeners, their friends, and families. Steve and Justin have recorded a special bonus podcast. This free podcast is available for download anytime. Typically, each day and night, the InvestTalk call center receives more voicemail questions than Steve and Justin can fit into a live show format. So in the bonus program, caller questions will be played back from our voice bank and answered with brief, unbiased, and helpful responses. The first segment of the Rapid Fire Hour is hosted by Justin Klein, and Steve Peasley handles the second half. It's a fast-paced learning podcast for the average investor. It's free, so be sure to tell your friends. It can be downloaded now at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and InvestTalk.com. Look for Rapid Fire Hour.
Hey, Steve. This is Adam. I'm calling from Texas, and this is post-Wintergeddon or whatever they're calling it that just happened here and really did a number on our power grid. My question has to do with homeowners insurance. And you said before, if we ever had any questions about insurance, to give you a call. So before I bought our house last summer, I did shopping for homeowners insurance and found a really great deal. But unfortunately, I found out recently the trade-off was the $2,500 deductible. So I was wondering if you could give me any tips for how the best way that I can get the most affordable homeowners insurance without having to pay an arm and a leg if I do have to file a claim. Thanks for your help. I really appreciate it.
Well, I will say that I'm not the insurance expert myself. This is probably a better question for Steve. Steve worked in the insurance industry for a long period of time. That's kind of where he cut his teeth on the investment side, as well as the claim side. And he worked in all aspects almost of the insurance business. I know there's a lot, but he's really good at this stuff. Now, I will say, and he will say, that having a high deductible is a good thing. You rather have a high deductible because more often than not, you're not going to use that insurance. Far more often. And you're going to save way more over decades of paying lower premiums than you will by avoiding some $2,500 deductible, which you might feel is high. So what I would say is I would keep that. If you think your deductible, I would keep $2,500. Just save up $2,500 and earmark it for a potential claim of any kind. Now, I also know Steve is a big fan of umbrella policies, where you have a certain low level of coverage on a lot of different things, and you have an umbrella policy on top of that that covers kind of big ticket potential liabilities. So I wouldn't be scared off by high deductible. In fact, all of my insurance, car insurance, etc., all have high deductibles because I rather pay a lower premium and higher deductibles when, God forbid, something does happen. Now, I will say the one thing I have a low deductible on is, what they call it, comp on my car insurance, because I always get cracks in my windshield. I get rocks that skip up and put a little crack in my windshield, and then I have to pay, you know, $500, $1,000 deductible. Well, I have that down to 100 because I pay $100, I get a new windshield, that's game over. So that's the only one that I have a low deductible on, but all my other things, collision, you know, I've never had any major car accidents. So $2,500 is not a problem, especially on the homeowner side. I would just keep it, pay that low rate. Let's go to Sid in Canada. He's looking at EYESIs.
Hi, Justin. Good evening. Hello from Ontario, Canada. I am regular listeners and almost frequent callers. Thank you. You guys are the encyclopedia.
Appreciate it.
The question is about, I'm planning to take a small position here. I mean, a lot of good stories, but I heard that this company has some potential. And you just answered in the previous question. So should I look into this company for a long term, short term, or what's your opinion? Should I just pass this symbol?
All right. So you're looking at, let's see the name of this company here, EYES, which is Second Sight Medical Products. When you say you hear they have a lot of potential, what do you mean by that? What kind of research have you done on this name?
This is a company who is developing a second retina for the blind people so that they can have some kind of the provisions to see the world. And they are doing some research on that side. And they have some good results and good potential outcome. Not sure they are still there at the end, but that's what my initial assessment says. That, and if that is true, then this is going to be, just for the blind people, one of the best innovation, you know?
Well, then that's what you're buying into here. You know, the business is not, does not have, there's not much revenue or any profits right now. So this is entirely about the product that you're speaking of and their implantable prosthetic devices, which is that's what they make for blind individuals. If you think that that is a game changer, and frankly, I don't know much about that particular technology, then this is probably a buy, right? If you're making blind people see at a $344 million market cap, I'm pretty sure that that is going to pay off. So if you believe in the technology, I'd buy it. But you have to do research. This is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. Give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume, because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Justin Klein is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show. So you guys were talking about macro trends and how they affect stocks, such as interest rates going up or down and what they mean for stock prices moving up or down. I was wondering if there's a resource or website I can go to learn about the different macro trends that would affect stocks. Thank you.
Is there a resource? I can't think of one off the top of my head. You know, we just know this from history and studying different allocations, different headwinds and tailwinds for different sectors. Some are very intuitive and straightforward, right? The growth of the economy is better for consumer discretionary companies, good for industrials, typically good for resource commodities like energy. And when things aren't going so hot, those industries typically underperform. Interest rates typically drop. That benefits areas like utilities, REITs, consumer staples, and other areas of the economy are more driven by inflation, ebbing and flowing. So really, this is just more studying the sectors, studying the economy, and finding those historical correlations. So it's more intuitive than anything, and it's just really knowing the industries, knowing what creates headwinds, what creates tailwinds, and being able to react to that and allocate accordingly. Now, I know we can fit in at least one more caller question before the show is over. This came in earlier from Georgia.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is James from Georgia. I was just wondering what y'all thought about ArchRock Incorporated, ticker AROC. They're on an uptrend right now, and their earnings per share are supposed to be growing by a significant amount this year, next year. Their debt-to-equity ratio is a little high at 1.8, but I was wondering what y'all thought about it. Thanks.
All right, looking at ArchRock Inc. This is a company that is a U.S. natural gas contract operations service company and provider of natural gas compression services. Interesting, interesting. Let's look at their revenue. It was hit a bit in 2020, down about 10% year over year, $965 million in revenue in 2019, $875 million in 2020. So modest hit to revenue, still yields about 5.6%. And their profitability, even though their revenue was down, their profitability was pretty strong still. Trailing 12-month free cash flow of almost $200 million on a market cap of $1.5 billion. Not too bad. I don't see a big issue with their debt, to be honest with you. It doesn't look too high for their business. What I'm more concerned about is their profitability longer term. It vacillates from positive to negative, and it only averages somewhere in the mid to high single digits over the last decade. And so what that tells me is that this company doesn't have what we consider an economic moat, any way to shield themselves from competitors and extract higher than average returns for their shareholders. And that's what worries me a lot. And if you look at the shares outstanding, they've gone from 70 million shares in 2017 to 151 million shares outstanding today, over doubled in the span of 3 to 4 years. And that's not really because of COVID. They almost doubled it from 2017 to 2019. They've issued a ton of shares, diluting shareholders, and their business has not dramatically moved up. So I'm going to pass on it. I just don't see that historical profitability and cash flow. It's relatively cheap based on last 12 months of earnings, but it's a business that's up and down. And so I would not be buying now at the top end of that cycle. So I'm passing. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening. And we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which they can find on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Or they can listen live to our live stream broadcast, which concludes at 5 p.m. Pacific time each and every day. And then we upload that into the podcast stream. And be sure to rate and review. And we invite you to call with your questions anytime on our Invest Talk Voice Bank. As always, that number is 888-99-CHART. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.